Good morning. This is the Lou Rockwell Show, and how great to have as our guest this morning, Dr. Peter Bragan. Peter is a psychiatrist. I think of him broadly in the same tradition as the late Dr. Thomas Saz. He's an anti-psychiatrist psychiatrist. That is, he doesn't think that the method of psychiatry, which has long been very pro-state, maybe even seeking sometimes to control people for the benefit of the state, but in recent decades, of course, almost entirely drug-oriented. Peter, I can remember a number of years ago when there was a best-selling book actually advocating that the entire human race go on Prozac.
Yeah, practically, yes.
And you had a best-selling book talking back to Prozac, you and your wife Ginger, that refuted that. And we could talk about your many achievements professionally. I think of your practically single-handedly preventing the psychiatric profession from advocating, once again, the horror of lobotomy, that is, cutting a piece of people's brains out in order to allegedly improve their lives. You're the author of 20 books. You've been in practice for a number of years. You're in Ithaca, New York now. And although I remember when you were in the Washington, D.C. area many years ago, and once when you had dinner with Ron Paul, this is back when I was working for Ron Paul. He was very impressed by you, and of course, I've always been. You've done a huge amount of good through these 20 books, through your opposition to the zeitgeist in psychiatry. But I want to talk today about your new book. This latest book is called Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Understanding and Overcoming Negative Emotions. So, Peter, you feel the way if people have problems, and of course, many, many people have problems. Maybe all of us have problems at one time or another.
All of us have problems.
Yeah. So you don't want somebody putting you on Xanax or Prozac or all these other very dangerous drugs. Also, I should just mention that you've been a pioneer in talking about how the role of psychiatric drugs in bringing about suicide and violence and mass murders turns out, of course, even though the media doesn't exactly trumpet this, that these mass murderers typically are on these high levels of these very, very powerful psychiatric drugs. So you take a different approach to actually help yourself. Tell us about what your book is counseling people.
Well, there's just no doubt that there are better ways than drugging people, shocking people, lobotomizing people, locking people up. And we know that even for the very most disturbed people, there's a lot of scientific evidence that what they need is a helping relationship, and particularly to help people with their family relationships and their family conflicts. Everybody across the board, we're looking at Christmas and New Year, and a lot of people are aware that seeing their parents again raises all kinds of painful emotions, but they can't explain why necessarily. Or having their parents come see them is going to arouse painful emotions. Our lives are often ruled in a negative way by feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, feeling anxious. The book does a few things that are very different. First of all, it gives a biological theory, Lou, literally an evolutionary theory of why we feel guilt, shame, and anxiety. And I can explain it in a pretty quick nutshell that may make a lot of sense to folks. Human beings are the most violent and loving creatures on Earth. Anybody who's looked at history or current domestic violence or at prisons, jails, and so on, knows how terribly violent we are, both in murdering large numbers of anybody who's religiously different, racially different, or otherwise in conflict with us, and also in inflicting violence on each other in our families. So we are really a violent creature. We evolved as the only creature without any kind of built-in weaponry who nonetheless, using pointed sticks and rocks and other things, could bring down huge game animals, bigger than elephants, over periods of a couple million years leading up to our becoming Homo sapiens. So we come from a long lineage of being able to inflict tremendous violence without having a lot of weapons to do it with. In the beginning, just pointed sticks and rocks. So that's us on the one hand, and we see that being repeated on the news all day long, is how violent we are. On the other hand, we're this incredibly loving, social, cooperative creature. We, unlike any other animal, develop feelings of love and intimacy with one another that are just very profound. Now, all of this is in other animals. There are other animals that are social. There are other animals that are violent, but we're this enormous combination. So if we're that violent and yet that needy of the closeness and caring and nurturing. How did we even get past stage one of evolution without destroying ourselves? Because here we are, we're intimate, we get into conflict, and we're very violent. Well, thinking it through, it became apparent to me that natural selection would favor those creatures, human-like creatures, who in personal conflicts would develop inhibitory emotions, what I call negative legacy emotion. So we have a legacy, we have a negative legacy of emotions that stop us dead in our tracks when we are being willful, aggressive, and self-assertive in intimate relationships. And that's the origin, I believe, of guilt, shame, and anxiety. So it's a built-in, genetically mapped, instinctual-like feeling that we have nothing to do with as persons. It's no, we have no more to do with that than we do with our hunger or our sexual feelings. They're built in. But then childhood, just like it influences our eating and our sexual habits, childhood has then a profound influence on eliciting guilt, shame, and anxiety. So it's built in, and then it's elicited in guilt in childhood. If we're abused, if our childhood is really tough, we have more guilt, shame, and anxiety. Doesn't mean we were bad. People think, oh, I'm shameful, I'm guilty, I should be anxious. No, no. It was built in before you could even think. And in therapy, you find out people can barely remember most of the experiences they've had that have inflicted guilt, shame, and anxiety on them. So that's the biological given. Finally, an understanding why everybody has these feelings, every culture has these feelings. Natural selection favored people who have some inhibitions on their violence and willfulness while they were in their close relationships. So what happens when we grow up is, okay, we have this ability to love, but it's very confused because as soon as we're in an intimate relationship, we start feeling guilt, shame, and anxiety of one kind or another. Built in and stimulated and somewhat formed in childhood. So our task in life is literally to understand guilt, shame, and anxiety and surmount it, transcend it, reject it. And the book describes the steps for doing that so that we can live instead by rational principles and love. And now the love issue is one that has been recognized throughout the ages. I have a somewhat new approach that I've taken in earlier books as well as in this one about love being joyful and guilt, shame, and anxiety are not love. Neediness and desperation are not love. Love is this joyful connection we can have with each other. But we can't get there in a responsible connection where we take care of each other. But this responsible, nurturing, loving attitude, to really reach that, as many people have taught without having a full theory about guilt, shame, and anxiety, to reach that, you have to overcome your negative emotions. You've got to learn not to live by them. And most of us live a large portion of our life making decisions to avoid guilt, to avoid shame, to avoid anxiety. So that's in a nutshell, but it really is a book about emotional liberation.
But you would argue that it's a good thing these emotions develop, because otherwise we might be all killing each other.
Well, I think it's only a good idea in the sense that it was necessary before we developed a higher culture, that it was necessary in our intimate family relationships. Otherwise, it wouldn't have developed. It wouldn't have, people with this wouldn't have been favored. If guilt, shame, and anxiety, which we have so much of, didn't contribute something to human beings propagating, it wouldn't be there. It would just drop off like other things do that don't work. But I think it only works in a primitive way. Remember, it's built in over millions of years. It's elicited in childhood. One of the things I do, Lou, is I explain that, that guilt, shame, and anxiety are prehistoric in two ways. They're prehistoric and they were built into us throughout evolutionary history. But they're also prehistoric and they're built into us before we can remember in childhood. So while they may have served a purpose in childhood, and especially in older times, hundreds of thousands of years ago, well, really, maybe only 5 or 10,000 years ago before we began to develop better cultural ideas. And really, I'm Jewish, but it's since the birth of Jesus and the concept of love one another being the single most important concept. Love God and love one another, that we develop the golden rule. It evolves in the Old Testament, evolves in many different religions. And in the Western world, is most noteworthy, you know, is the golden rule. that human beings developed that culturally, and that was not a given. That's something we developed, and we each then have to develop our own version of the golden rule. We each have to learn to live by love, but also to take care of ourselves. One of the things that guilt, shame, and anxiety does is it makes it hard for us to take care of ourselves. So we have to develop an idea that we have a right. I call it in the book the absolute right of emotional self-defense. Then, once we develop it, we can learn to love and change our lives, change how we relate to our husbands and wives, to our families, change how we relate to our children. And, of course, since we are some big thinking creatures, it can change how we relate to the world. Because we don't feel guilty and shameful and anxious about destroying other people, generally speaking, and other creatures. That's not what it's built in for. It was built in to keep us from destroying each other. So we have very, very few inhibitions on killing foreigners or people who look different or, you know, who are some different sect of our religion, you know, or come from a different part of our island. We're very, very easily unleashed in that regard. And again, we have to develop higher concepts of love and caring and nurturing as a human community to overcome this. And that's our work. What the book teaches that is somewhat unique and that people struggle with when I talk about it is that this is built in. It is prehistoric. It is primitive to feel guilt, shame, and anxiety. It isn't a good thing. When you feel guilty, it doesn't make you a better person. It makes you a more resentful, inhibited person. When you feel ashamed, it doesn't mean, oh, you're going to behave better in public. It may to some extent do that, but more importantly, it's going to make you inhibited and feel shameful and humiliated if you love, if you're creative, if you do anything original and unique. And similarly, anxiety, you may think being anxious is a good thing because it keeps you from going outdoors into the scary world. It keeps you from driving in your car. And you get the idea that this is actually a good thing. No, it's never a good thing. These are not helpful emotions. They get in the way, ultimately, of our being creative and loving. That's new. That's a new approach and a unified way of looking at this. It really can liberate people.
Peter, is guilt ever a good thing? I mean, can it help? Can it make somebody seek to repair something they did wrong or did wrong to somebody?
And that's the crux of a lot of the issue, and it's a lot of the crux of emotional liberation. No, guilt, by and large, if you feel guilty about how you're behaving, it's so painful to feel guilty that the first thing you're likely to do is reject that you even hit your wife, reject that you were even mean yesterday to your children. Guilt is so painful, it just inhibits us. And all right, it might at one occasion, if we feel guilty about hitting our wife, maybe it will inhibit us for a while. But after a while, when you feel these negative emotions, you end up getting generally angry. Eventually you get angry. And then you hit back at the very person who made you feel guilty when you actually maybe started it. You know, you see this so much in therapy. And in my forensic work, I deal with murderers. And if you really scratch down deep in somebody who's killed somebody, they almost always think the other person deserved it. These mass murderers think that humanity in general deserves it because they've been humiliated in school or humiliated in the home. So if you go deep enough in to somebody who's been a perpetrator, they don't feel guilt, anxiety, or shame about it. They feel that they were humiliated and that they're acting on getting even and the person deserved it. These aren't good inhibitors. And that some decent person may for a moment lose track of his dog and his dog gets run over and may feel guilty the rest of their lives. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from reason or good ethics. Now, there is sometimes, you know, somebody might do something wrong and feel guilty, but that's by chance. That's because there was a link made in childhood of guilt to what they did. So if you feel very bad about seeing your mother being hurt by your father as a child, you're so guilty. You see your father hurting your mother. You feel so ashamed that you didn't do anything to intervene, even though you were 4 years old. All right, that may make you very reluctant to ever be aggressive with a woman, but it might also make it impossible for you to assert yourself with your wife because it was built in by guilt as a child. We need sound ethics to live by. We need to be able to assess situations and say, that's my responsibility. I did that. I need to fix that. It isn't going to help me to be miserable. I did wrong. I'm actually going to work to undo it and be better and to be more loving in all of my relationships. Guilt, shame, and anxiety suppress us. Does that make sense?
Well, it's very, very interesting. You know, I think that the old joke, and I guess it's not a joke, that somebody like Woody Allen has been in psychoanalysis for 20 years. And you hear about cases of people like that
and look how Woody Allen lives.
No. Well, of course, it clearly doesn't help. But what I'm thinking is, and of course, I know
him not do shameful things a man should feel guilty about.
No,
you got to come to grips with the fact. And Woody Allen is a great example because he's a caricature of Jewish guilt. You know, all his movies are about Jewish guilt. I'm Jewish. I don't like Woody Allen movies. I don't think that we Jews or anybody should wallow in our guilt feelings and in our shame and in our anxiety, which is all his movies wallow in guilt, shame, and anxiety. All the ones I saw before I stopped watching. No, we need to say instead that we need to find being responsible and having a loving life. That's not Woody Allen. But that is what makes for a successful life, is to reject wallowing in guilt, shame, and anxiety, to fight against it, to weed it like you would take weeds out of your garden, and to grow and cultivate feelings of responsibility and love. And I give steps for doing that in the book. I give tests where people can look and see, are they dominated by guilt, shame, and anxiety? I even have a chart that just suggests in a broad way that if you're feeling this way and reacting with guilt, you could try reacting, relating, thinking in this way and moving beyond your guilt, shame, and anxiety. So it's both, it gives the theory of the book, and then it's a handbook. It becomes a handbook for how to live a caring, responsible, and really, you know, happier, more productive life.
You know, Peter, I might point out to people, you're a wonderful writer. This is a book that's very easy to read. It's written in a conversational way. It's not at all intimidating in the subjects it discusses. It's not too technical, very approachable. I must say I find that in all your books. But you see people in person in your office. Is it actually possible for a book, even a wonderful book, an easy-to-read book, a compelling book, to actually make a difference in somebody's life?
Books have made a difference in people's lives forever, you know. Going back to Benjamin Franklin, who wrote the first self-help book, the Bible, the good parts are self-help book that's changed people's lives. But you have to do more than the book, obviously. Therapy can help people too. AA can help people. There's many, many things that people can turn to. What this book will give you for the very first time in history is a unified concept of guilt, shame, and anxiety, how their nature's built-in anger management developed so that people are literally selected in evolution who would have this anger management thing built into them, and how it really isn't appropriate to adult, mature living, and how we can overcome it. And then it gives some very direct things that you're not likely to get elsewhere. For example, if you're feeling guilty, it's almost never because you did something. It's almost always because somebody did something to you. In fact, if you are a very guilt-ridden person, you were probably heavily abused in childhood to elicit this instinctual pattern in such a high degree. And if you're a shy woman or a shy man, it doesn't mean that you're gentle and kind. It means that people shamed you when you were young. And if you're an anxious person, it doesn't mean that the world is a dreadful place. Sure, it's a dreadful place, always has been, but it doesn't mean that you can't deal with it if you're feeling anxious. It means you were made to feel anxious by this combination of your primitive built-in emotions and your primitive childhood experiences. And that we now have a way of looking at this and saying, we don't need this. I know what this is doing to me. This is not making me a better person. If I walk around guilty and I see dark movies that make me feel guilty and I run my life around guilt, it actually isn't making me better. It's actually making me less loving. I'm bringing less joy into the world. I'm being less creative. So it gives a very specific new look at this whole complex of guilt, shame, and anxiety. And then it gives steps that I've developed. I've been working on the steps that are in this book and on the charts, some of the charts in the book. I've been working on for 40 years. This is my only 40-year book. I've been developing these ideas. I think in some ways I view it as my biggest achievement because it's been my hardest work. And it comes out of working on myself, raised families. It comes from my relationship with Ginger. We've talked about these issues for 30 years together. So this is my contribution, I hope, to taking psychology to a new level based on a genuine biology, not fake biochemical imbalances, not psychiatric drugs that do more harm than good, but a real understanding of our biology, how we evolved, and how we can transcend it. Well, that's the key, how we can move beyond it.
Well, Peter, this is obviously an important book, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety. As I say, it's very well written. I've not read the whole thing yet, to be truthful with people. I only got it just yesterday.
That's my publisher's fault. This is publication day. Lou, you're my second radio show on publication day.
Hey, well, that's an honor.
Well, I was thinking of you real early, actually, and sent you the notice real early. And I'm sorry the publisher only got the book to you yesterday.
No. Well, it's great to have it. I'm going to read it. And I've always admired the work you've done. I've always been impressed that you seek to base everything on love and the golden rule and similar kinds of principles, that you eschew drugs and a great opponent of these very dangerous drugs. So this is something for people who are concerned about their lives and their emotions. This book is an alternative to all of that. So thanks for all you've done, all the books you've written, all the causes that you've championed, all the good you've done.
And thank you
it's
for
great
your
to have
support,
you on the show.
Well, we've been working together on and off for quite a long time. I can't even remember how far back we go.
Well,
thank you for
it
your
does go
support.
Back a long way. Well, thank you, Peter, and thanks for coming on the show today. And thanks for writing this book, and may it hit the New York Times bestseller list.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.